Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
Of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got an exciting show for you tonight that we're so glad that you took time out of your busy schedule to join with us tonight. I want to say to my friends and neighbors all over the world tonight, happy St. Patrick's Day. I almost said happy Valentine's Day. I did that earlier with my neighbors out there. But I want to say happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you all out there. All right, we've got a great show planned for you tonight. We're going to be welcoming all of our co-hosts in this evening. And let me tell you, I'm so excited that the producers are even telling me that, listen, we're not just doing a part one of this show, but this show is going to have to be a part two, if not a part three. So that's how exciting tonight's topic is. So we want to go ahead and get started early on. Let me go ahead all the way to Georgia and welcome our co-hosts all the way from the Peachy State, Miss Jay, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Hello, everyone, and I'm happy to be back with you today. Happy Thursday, where Dr. Walker is not just telling stories, but he's changing lives.
All right, awesome. We certainly do appreciate you, Miss Jay, all the way from the Peachy State. Let's go ahead. All of our other co-hosts will be joining us momentarily. They're going to be pressing 1 on their dial. If you want to speak to us tonight, press 1. Let's go ahead and welcome the world-famous Pastor Roll. Pastor Roll, it's always an honor and pleasure to have you on board with us. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Dr. Walker, and to everyone. It's always great to be on the show and looking forward to a great subject tonight. And I want to thank Marjorie Cross for having invited me to be a part of this great, great, great society, this great group, and that's making a difference.
All right, excellent. We certainly do appreciate all of our co-hosts. When you join us, press 1, bring you on in here. We have so many of you all that will be joining us tonight. We're going to get right into tonight's program. Tonight's topic, part 1, why do some parents lie to their children? Pastor Roll, I want to start with you. Is it a myth? Is it speculation that parents lie? I mean, why would parents really tell an outright lie to their children? Pastor Roll.
Well, I tell you, without giving a lot of profound thought to what you say, untruth is untruth, and a lie is a lie. For example, and you will laugh when I say that about Santa Claus and about the fairy that you put your tooth up on a pillow and you can kind of, with a dime or whatever, you can kind of get what you want. But whether it's a small lie or whatever, a lie is a lie. And a lot of it's something that's been passed on from parents to parents, especially when it comes to Santa Claus and things like that.
Okay, so let me ask you, Russell, since you brought that part up, before we go to tonight's story, should parents even mention a Santa Claus at all, in your opinion?
Well, scriptures say you know the truth and the truth should set you free. We have to just be truthful in all things. Whatever it is, you know, we got to break the traditions that's been passed on from generation to generation. I just that just happened to come to my mind when you mentioned lying, you know, and we kind of laugh when we say it, you know. But a lie is a lie and the truth is the truth. So we should always be truthful in all that we say and do.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to get to the story in just about 3 or 4 minutes. But before we do, right in here, Miss J, we got to bring you all the way from the Peachy State. Miss J, I got to ask you the question. I mean, I'm flabbergasted over here thinking that parents would actually tell a lie to their children. Miss J, would they?
Yeah, some parents would, and they think behind the lie that they're doing it for a good reason. And the top of my head, you know, I'm just thinking, okay, some might lie just to keep them safe, they won't be hurt, you know, knowing that if they go to this house, this man might be, you know, might hurt kids or whatever, and they keep them there, they don't want to tell them that kind of stuff. Sometimes they'll lie on a need-to-know basis. You might call it a little white lie, so it depends on how in-depth you get on the lie, you know, because it might not be their business, or depending on their age, some things they don't need to know as small kids. I know one example I just thought about. If a person don't know their real father, you know, they'll wait, or either being adopted, they'll wait till they get older, feeling they can't accept that then, you know. Sometimes it can be hurtful. Sometimes it can, you know, it can, in the long run, it can hurt the child. But, yeah, they do.
Wow. Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go all the way now to back to the Peachy State, and let's go in and welcome Ricky to the rescue. Ricky to the rescue, thank you for joining us, sir. It's always a pleasure to have you on board.
Hello, everyone. I'm hoping to have a fantastic show today, and I'm pretty sure, Dr. Jesse Walker, we have a great topic for this evening as well.
Yes, sir, we certainly do. We're going to ask you all to stand by. This is a hot one. This is so hot that the producers are telling me that we're going to carry this to a part two and possibly a part three. Listen to tonight's story, y'all, as we get ready to go right into tonight's story. Our characters in tonight's story, and the story is not even complete because it's going to take into a part two and possibly part three as well. Tonight's characters are Sherry, Tim, and Ursula. Sherry, Tim, and Ursula. Now, after 23 years of a happy marriage, Sherry and Tim are struggling with an issue that has plagued them for over 19 years. The issue is telling their 19-year-old daughter, Ursula, the truth about something that they have been hiding. The issue resurfaced about 6 months ago when Ursula became gravely ill and needed a blood transfusion. It was clear that the mother's blood was not a match, so Ursula inquired about her father, Tim. Now, for the past 15 years, Tim had been pleading with Sherry to tell Ursula the truth about this very issue. There has never been any doubt about the parents' expressed love for their daughter, Ursula. Now facing this critical moment, their backs are against the wall, and Ursula wants to know why her father will not subject himself to a blood test in the event he's a match. Well, Ursula loves her parents with all her heart, and it is clearly obvious, especially for a teenager. Okay, for a teenager. So that is very important. And we're going to just stop there, and then I want to go, well, we'll go with it. They're telling me to go with it now. At Ursula's bedside alone, with tears in her eyes, her mother begins to tell her a daunting truth. She breaks down as she tells her, and we're going to stop it right there and come back. Miss J, what do you think the mother is getting ready to tell her?
Well, I'm just assuming she's going to say, you know, I want you to live, and the only way we can do that is I let you know who your real father is, who can really give you the blood that you need. And she would tell her, but I don't know why they waited so long.
Okay, all right, so that's what your speculation is. Okay, Ricky to the rescue, what do you think her mother's getting ready to tell her? I mean, she's got tears in her eyes, and now she's get ready to tell her this truth. What do you think it is?
I agree with what was previously said. It's going to be, when it comes to this case, that, gentlemen, you are not the father.
Wow. Wow. And, I mean, this is a hard one. This is a hard one. Let's go on. Let's bring in Benny from the block. Benny from the block, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good evening, sir.
Yeah, we're going to... Good evening, and happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy, terrific, thankful Thursday, and I'm excited to be on the show.
Okay, let's bring in Get It Girl. Get It Girl, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Good evening. It's so great to be back. I hope everyone is safe, and I'm looking forward to a absolutely exciting conversation.
All right, great. Listen here. So if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is why do some parents lie to their children? We've got our characters in tonight's story. We have Ursula, which is the 19-year-old daughter. We got Sherry, the mom, and then we got Tim, the father. Now, after 23 years of marriage, actually, and now Ursula, the daughter, is on gravely ill. She needs a blood transfusion. And the mother's not a match, but the father won't even subject himself to a test. And Ursula wants to know why. And he's been telling her for 15 years, telling the wife, to tell her the truth. And she's been waiting. Why do you think Miss J feels like he's not the father? Ricky to the Rescue feels like he's not the father. Let me go and ask Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, what do you think the mother's getting ready to say? I mean, there's always some other stuff that they could.
Well, I have to agree with the what have before been mentioned. She's getting ready to, you know, just tell her daughter the truth. And it hurts, you know, but, you know, back to scripture that says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And, man, I just want to speak the words of truth.
Wow. Okay. So, a show before, does the truth really set you free? Or can the truth hurt? You all will really want to listen to that show, and we might bring that one back up again. That was a very good show. Well, anyway, here's the truth. The truth is, and we're going to carry this to a part one and to a part two and possibly a part three and forthcoming program. But the truth of the matter is, she broke down in tears to tell her daughter that Tim was not biological father. And that girl, gravely ill already, this just hurt her so bad. So I want to begin my question tonight is, Miss J, why would you tell her that right now when this girl is already sick? Or does it matter?
Well, she's trying to save her daughter's life. I'm sure if they can reach that father, if, and hopefully they could, that it would save her life. But why she would wait till the last little moment of possibly her child's life that was really cruel and unjust for her to do her daughter that way, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that truth should have came out a long time ago because that's, you talking about the truth would set you free, but that truth would hurt this girl for the rest of her life. I don't think she's going to be free with that.
So, Miss J, are you telling me then on tonight's program that the truth may not set you free?
It's going to set this mother free, yeah, to a certain extent, but how would this daughter feel towards that mother, I hate to say, after she find out 19 years of lying to me, and you wait till
I'm
about to die.
They're sending me a message. They've already sent me that in the production studio, and let me know. That will be revealed in part two or possibly part three. Mm-hmm. You don't want to miss out on that one. You definitely don't miss out on that. I mean, here it is. I mean, the truth will set you free. So, Pastor Roll, I'm going to bring you in here because if the truth sets one person free, then couldn't the truth be damaging to another person?
Well, I have to, you know, take the word of God, you know, swallow your hook, line, and sinker, you know. But I know, you know, when you tell the truth, you know, there's another scripture says that there's a balm in Gilead and there's a physician there, you know. And God knows how to give you the medicine, that balm that you need to completely heal you. But there's no way to get around the word of God. You know, we have to grow into it. But truth is truth, and a lie is a lie.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. You listen to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. You can also listen online at drjessewalker.com. Just click on the photo there where it tells you about the show. Tonight's topic is, why do some parents lie to their children? Get it, girl. Go, girl. We want to bring you in here and ask you the myth that people, that parents would, I mean, can you imagine a parent lying to their child? I mean, kids think their parents are perfect.
I don't know why people do some of the things that they do. However, in haste and in shame and humiliation, people will say certain things or deny many things, and this will eventually, the truth will come to light. Now, what people actually do in terms of what is revealed is another hurtful situation, particularly in this young lady's situation where you are dealing with her life, a life issue. And besides it being so upsetting to her, it's not going to help her in any way at this point. However, she will know that her situation is in a different light now. I don't know why the mom took it to that level, but whatever it is, I could hope that the revelation will help both to heal, because there's going to be a lot of hurt in this situation.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Certainly, bringing from the block, I want to bring you in. We're going to go also to Georgia in a moment, Alabama 3205 in a moment. Benny from the block, I want to bring you in, and then Ricky to the rescue. Benny from the block. Well, Tim, he's not the biological father, but could he have stepped up to the plate and told her himself? And I'll give you a little secret on what's in part two, if the producers aren't upset with me, but I want to put the cat out of the bag. Sherry actually told him, "This is my daughter, and when the right time comes, I will tell her, not you. That's not your place." Tim, I let that cat out of the bag on that one. But let's bring Benny from the block. Benny from the block, do you think Tim should have stepped up anyway and told this young lady that he's not her daughter? Or was Sherry right in letting him know that's not his place?
Okay, a couple things. My first question is, why do people lie? Well, people lie for a couple of reasons: to preserve one's reputation, to preserve one's dignity, to preserve something about their lives to keep from other people from finding out the real truth. So those are some of the basic reasons why people lie. Yes, yes, he should have stepped up from the beginning, and so I have a real issue with that. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it proudly. A lot of men need to come up and step up and be the leaders of their households and their families and stop letting things just slip and slide. We've slept into an area now where we are so weak, we don't even know how to just be men and be head of our households, and respect is lost. So, yes, he should have told her. It should have been divulged early enough in her life so she could have digested that and been able to go forward in everything that she knows, and she would have probably been a little bit more settled in who she was than she was at the end. That's hurtful. They always say the truth will set you free. Yes, it will set you free, but it also will reveal some things to people. It will reveal, hey, my mom and my dad wasn't truthful with me, so what else were they not truthful about? And those are questions that should not be answered. When you tell a lie or you keep a secret, it's going to have to create another situation or another problem. You got to tell another lie to cover that lie, or you got to keep another secret to cover that secret. Basically and simple, let's just be honest, take our pain, swallow that pill from the beginning. Hey, look, I messed up. I had another child. And just, listen, take it and go with it. At least you are free. Because when you hold on to those things, you're never going to be free.
Right, Benny from the block, we're going to ask you to stand by. Jack, stand by for us for a moment. Ricky to the rescue, I want to bring you in here. Ricky to the rescue, does it matter when they told her if she was 9 years old? I mean, she might have still been upset. She thinks that this man is her father, her biological father. She don't even know the difference at 7 or 8 years of age. But does it matter that they tell her now as opposed to earlier?
Well, I think it's important to understand what she is experiencing at this point is actually grief. And so if we put it into that perspective, especially if we're thinking about if we lost the loved one, imagine if you was living with your family and, you know, 19 years go by and then you actually, you know, lose your grandparent or someone, you're going to go through grief. This is the same exact thing she's experiencing, but however, she's actually experiencing losing the life she thought she actually had, which was a complete lie. And so to have that to continue and linger on, it probably would have been better off if she was told as early as possible.
Okay. All right. If you're just joining us, tonight's topic is a hot one. This is part one. Why do some parents lie to their children? We're talking about Sherry and Tim, a married couple after 23 years of marriage. Their 19-year-old daughter is gravely ill. She needs a blood transfusion. And the mother's not a match, and she's wondering why the father, Tim, would not subject himself to even a blood test. And for 15 years, Tim has been telling Sherry, the mother, tell her the truth. And the mother has told him, this is not your daughter. When the time comes, I will tell her. That's my role. I'm her biological mother. You're not her biological father. And when the time is right, I will tell my child the truth. And so now, on her gravely ill bed, Sherry breaks down and begins to tell her that Tim is not her biological father. This girl is devastated, and you're going to find out more in part two. Oh, my goodness, you don't want to miss part two. Let's go in and bring in Jack. Jack, you know, we talk about the truth will set you free, but when it does, it seems like Benny from the Block, you know, what's free for one person is not necessarily free for another person. Because we had shows on this before, and the police had to be called in. And some of you all may or may not remember, we had a situation where where the people were, a couple was out at a restaurant, you know, couples out, two couples. And one of the ladies was sleeping with the other man's husband. One woman was sleeping with one of the other gentlemen who was being her best friend's husband. And she couldn't take it anymore and decided at the dinner table to reveal this information because she couldn't take it anymore. And it felt good for her. The truth came out. But then, you know, and actually they were at a picnic gathering from both sides of the family. Just in case anything break out, you got one family who's going to support the other family and so forth and so on, families supporting each other. And then what happened was this thing got out of control because her best friend couldn't handle it, and they started fighting. But the one friend who revealed this, she felt a sigh of relief. But then her freedom, you know, her freedom being set free with the truth devastated her friend. Now they're at this restaurant. They had to be kicked out of the restaurant, and all the families, the police had to get involved. So, Jack, let's bring you in here. Jack, can the truth set you free? Are they devastating or destroying somebody else?
No, you gotta come clean. I mean, we're living in a chaotic world. There's so much going on out there, and so many people think it's all about them, but it's not all about them. Sometimes you hurt the ones that you love the most. But in this case here, she was adopted the father. She didn't know that was her. He's not her father, so. The mother should have told her. She shouldn't wait until she's on her deathbed to tell her. She should have told her that many, many years ago when the child was old enough to understand. So she could make a decision. I mean, she's not going to love him any less. Matter of fact, she would have loved him even more because she knew that he wasn't her biological father, but he was taking care of her and he was acting like that. Now, I'm not going to blame 100% on the mother. I'm going to blame some of the proportion on the stepfather, or not the stepfather, but... yeah, I guess he was kind of somewhat like the stepfather, right? So
yeah.
He could have told her. He could have stepped forward, even though the mother said that's not his child. But he owed her an obligation by sharing that with her. They both owed the child an obligation when she was young enough, when she was old enough to understand it. Now that she's 19 years of age and the mother's on her dying bed telling her that this is not your biological father and that I held it back for whatever reason, but now I need to reveal it to you. Of course she's going to be devastated. She's devastated by two things now. She's devastated by the impending loss of her mother, and eventually, I mean, that's knowing that that's her father. Now she feels probably all along, I don't have a mother or a biological father. So I think it was her obligation as the child was a lot younger to tell the child exactly who her biological father, but not 100% hers. Some of that blame is on the stepdad as well, so he should have been able to, and let the consequences fall where they may. I told her because I felt in my heart that was the right thing to do, so therefore I shared exactly with her how I felt. And let the mother decide on what she's going to do at that point. She probably said, I'm glad you told her. I didn't have to tell her.
Yeah, actually, it's the daughter who's gravely ill, not the mother, the daughter. That's gravely ill.
The daughter's gravely ill.
The one in need of a blood transfer. Yeah.
That makes it even worse.
Right. So we're already halfway through tonight's program, you all, and we're certainly still got a lot to cover. Miss J, go ahead.
Just one quick question. I love your stories, but I need to get an understanding. Sherry and Tim was married 22 years, right?
23 years.
23. The girl is 19. So, therefore,
right.
They were a married couple. So, Sherry must have tipped out a little bit. So, that's the way it sounds from your story. They've been married 22 years, 23, and she just 19 years old.
Right. Right.
So why did Sherry think that Tim did not have the right, that it's her child? They were a married couple. She was wrong. She tipped out. Tim, he should have put on his big boy
pants. That's a very good point.
That
will be revealed in part two. Miss Jean,
me, I be thinking. Now, Tim should have put on his big boy pants and said, Sherry, wait
a minute. I was wondering if anybody else would pick up the math on that. And nobody said anything, but here you are. That's a very good point, because it was going to be revealed in part two. So,
I picked that up. I'm like, you know, talking about he shouldn't have said nothing. He should have, because she was falling in love with him growing up. Even if she was 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, she loved him already. So it didn't matter who her father was, because Tim was her father probably in her mind, and she should have been told. And as time went by, they could explain more about what happened when she could understand that her mama tipped out, you know, that's laid on.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You think part one is something. Wait till you start hearing part two and part three. This is really, it's going to make a lot of you all upset out there. And if young people are listening to it, they will probably want to confront their parents. So let me go back in here, and let's bring in, do we have Go Girl, Get It Girl? We're going to hear an advertisement from our sponsor tonight, Ms. Marjorie, and momentarily she's going to press one on her dial, and we'll bring her in. But just let's take a commercial break now and go to Pastor Rowe about sponsorship, and we want to take this opportunity to thank Pastor Rowe for all of his support of this program, and we encourage all of you all to take stock in what he's talking about, that we're sponsoring. Your sponsorship, in other words, your sponsorship of our weekly newsletters, which includes these stories every week. And all of these stories are inspired by true stories. And then you'll get the food for thought in these stories each and every week. So, Pastor Rowe, just let them know that their sponsorship supports the projects we're doing through supporting the countries that we've adopted. Pastor Rowe.
Well, you know, we're all excited about, you know, what the vision, you know, carrying out the vision that you have, Dr. Walker. And, you know, it's not, you know, it's the less fortunate, you know, whether you, you know, family is family. And we're just about helping people, you know, whether it's the children or adolescents or adults or whatever. But we want to do all that we can to fulfill the vision that Dr. Walker has. And of course, if you have any concerns where you might want to contribute or help, you know, feel free to let either myself or Marjorie Cross know of your desires to help. And we'll just coordinate and get connect with the powers to be, and you can provide the information that you need about the children, and we just give you some, you know, share with you how we best can assist and support you this endeavor. So, long story short, just contact me, Marjorie Cross, and we'll do our best to help you with your desires, to help those that are less fortunate. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
And we certainly thank you for that. And Cole is an intricate part. He's the director of our sponsorship, and he's doing an excellent job. And we encourage you all to take out a subscription. You'll read these stories each and every week. And we want to thank all of you all out there who are supporting. We're going to take a commercial break in just a few minutes, and we're almost done with tonight's show. We're halfway through. And just before we bring in Marjorie Cross with a commercial break, I got to find this question out. I just need to know something here. And I want to know, basically, Ricky to the Rescue, I mean, you see, I mean, so Pastor Rose started out earlier by saying that, you know, we talk about Christmas, there's a Santa Claus, we talk about the Easter Bunny, we talk about superheroes. I mean, are we encouraging our kids to live in a fantasy world? And sometimes they don't think ill of you when you tell them there's a tooth fairy. You know, they want to take out two or three teeth if they can get $5 or $10. Ricky to the Rescue, why do we create a world of fantasy? And is there a difference between the fantasy and the lies?
Yes, I think it's interesting, and I actually had the opportunity to do a survey of, it was about 100 parents, and the reason why, the conclusion of it was that they wanted to preserve that whole happiness of being a child, you know, before you have to start paying bills and be involved with the stress that life entails, is to just preserve that happiness as long as possible. So if you just look at it from that standpoint, it sounds good. However, are we really preparing them for the world by sheltering them for how to deal with the world, which
that's
is
very good.
The reality that's of the world?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Let's bring in Go Girl and ask her. I mean, Go Girl, I mean, when you grew up and you realize there is no Santa Claus, your parents were the Santa Claus, is that deceit? Is that intentional deceit?
I wouldn't say it is intentional. I don't know if the kids actually believe that, you know, the parents really tried to hurt their feelings in that way. But it would be intentional. I also think that sometimes they kind of give the kids, it's like an incentive, but they don't realize that some kids take it wholeheartedly, depending on how the parents present it to them, and they actually believe it. For me, I never was engulfed in any of that type of information. You know, I know about a tooth fairy, Santa Claus, but we always knew that it was more like a folklore or a folk tale that we kind of told these stories around other cultures, and that was it. But as far as, you know, Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus, no. But I do think a lot of that, when parents don't talk about it, and one of the topics I guess we could look at in terms of what we're speaking now is how people view death. And when death occurs, especially with kids, because they tell them, you know, about going to heaven and this is going to happen right now, how does that impact them if they eventually learn what really happens? So,
all right. Excellent point. We're going to be doing one of those shows in our future segments as well. Let me go in. Miss J, I want to bring you in here before we start taking some of the comments tonight. If you're just joining us, why do some parents lie to their children? You know, when you talk about fantasy world, I remember I loved watching Superman as a kid. I mean, I just really thought that men could fly. Even at that age, you know, age of seven and eight, I couldn't understand how they didn't know that Clark Kent was Superman, because all he did was take off his glasses, really. But, Miss Jay, I want to say this part, and that is, I just thought man could fly, and you start to develop, in this fantasy world, you start to become innovative and creative. I remember taking an umbrella and climbing on top of a roof. It was not a high roof, but I think it was a garage, if I remember correctly. And I was about 8 or 9. I remember this distinctively. And I took this umbrella and opened it up like it was like Mary Poppins. And I'm thinking, if I jump off this roof, then I've created a parachute. Well, listen, I jumped off that roof and I hurt myself viciously because, you know, the wind actually pulled the umbrella. It must have been a cheap umbrella, and I don't think it would have mattered. It just sucked the umbrella up, and I fell hard on that ground. So the question becomes, Miss J, could some of these myths that we see that we're thinking a fantasy world brings innovation and creation enough in the minds of young people to make them do some stupid stuff? Like, that was stupid what I did. Or was it?
You know, I was laughing about that. For you, I'm dealing with it. It depends on the child. With you, you were there as saying like curious child, just like you still curious as an adult, it sounds like. So, you know, somebody needs to set you down and talk to you a little bit to let you know that was just fantasy for real. That's TV. You know, you get too curious. But most kids may not be as curious as you were. You know, because
but you know
I
what? Nobody knew I was going to do it.
I know.
They just didn't
know.
And that's what I'm saying. The innocence or what someone may be telling you or you're watching, you know, and you don't know what's going through the minds of young people. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by. I mean, that was so devastating. And I can tell you one thing. Sometimes lessons can be expensive in the sense that it's costly in your body and it hurts. It hurts because
Dr. Walker, let me tell you something right quick. That comes from being so smart, I think, because a good example for me is my oldest brother was a genius. He is a genius. And he thought that he was Superman, and he was chasing me in the house, and we closed the French doors. And he remembered how they could bust through the glass and get through, and he actually did that and cut his arm. So you smart guys, you know, y'all be, I don't know what's wrong with y'all.
Wow, you know, you just never know. So let me bring you in here because, you know, and as a matter of fact, I can tell you my oldest son, at 3 years of age, he put a battery on a plate of one of those toy men and a battery, and he put the man in the freezer. And so when I discovered that and asked him, he was three and he could talk, and I asked him, I said, son, why did you tape this battery to the back of this man? He said, Dad, I wanted to charge him up so to see if he could move. So, and today he's a genius. He's brilliant.
Yeah,
he is
curious
absolutely
mind.
Brilliant.
Curious mind.
So it's interesting. Let's go ahead and take a commercial break from Marjorie Cross. Ms. Cross, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your patience. And listen, as you all listen to Ms. Cross tonight, I am a customer of hers as well and some excellent products that she talks about. And as a matter of fact, I give her strong support, you all, for what she's doing. And we certainly do appreciate her, and that's why she's one of our sponsors. Bring it to the rescue. We're going to bring you in momentarily also to let them know what you're doing. Ms. Cross.
Okay. Good evening, Dr. Walker, and good evening, Pastor Rowe, and good evening to all your co-hosts. My name is Marjorie Allen Cross. I'm a nurse, and I'm also a health and wellness consultant with one of the most leading companies in the world. We are A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. We have over 150 health products that may be able to help you. And some of the products we have is our collagen, adaptogen. And if you would like to find out more about our products, you can go to betteryourself.info or becomeasponsor.info. And my telephone number is 786-319-7223. Again, 786-319-7223. And I'm also assistant director of sponsorship with Pastor Roll. We work together to get this this business going. And we just want to say thank you. And thank you, Dr. Walker, for allowing me to speak about the business. God bless you all. Thank you.
And listen, I enjoy your products. I really do. And thank you for that. And you all may want to give her a call. She's got some fantastic natural products out there. And I really do appreciate this. And I found one here with her that I can call upon and get the orders that I need. And they're on time, too. All right, we're going to go ahead
Thank you,
come
Dr.
back. Certainly. Jack, we want to bring you in here and ask you this question. I believe we still got Jack. Maybe not. Jack, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay, Jack, we want to go ahead and bring you in here and give you this first comment. We've got several comments that have come into the studio. And let's go ahead with, let's find them first. All right, here we go. Here we go. All right. Why do some parents, this email writes in, she says, I think some parents lie to their children to protect them from things they think that could harm them down the road. Jack, is there, in your opinion, is there any validity to that, to protect them?
I'm trying to think, what could I lie to my child about that can protect them down the road? I'm trying to think if there's anything. If anything, I would prefer telling them so they would know, and then we can deal with it together. If the child needs counseling, then I can go to counseling with them, and we can discuss it, you know, with the counselor together. But I'm trying to think if there's anything that I can think of that I would have to lie to my child about that's going to protect them from knowing eventually something is going to be revealed. Everything is going to be revealed anyway. So they're going to find out, even if the devastating part about it would be that they find out on their own without me telling them. But I can't think of anything for the moment that I can lie to my child about that's going to protect them. I can't think of anything. Can you think of anything? I can't
think
of anything.
Well, I'm just wondering, what if the parent was sick and they wanted to protect their child from telling them how sickly they are? Is an omission considered a lie? Jack, what do you think?
I think omission is considered a lie. Now, for me, if I'm sick, then I do want my child to know. I want them to know, you know, so we can come to grips with a lot of things that maybe we didn't come to grips with. And I can tell them, you know, I mean, before my demise is what I'm saying. So they will a lot of things they will understand, and we can come together, and we can be together on one accord. Where after I'm dead and gone, we can't even make things. What if we had a problem with each other and I needed to talk to that person before our demise or something? We need to be able to come together and talk about that before something happened later on down the line. So I don't see any validity in holding things back from telling a child about something that's going to protect them down the line. I don't see any validity in that. Even if I was sickly, I don't see something being right with that.
Okay. So, Jack, we've got stories. I mean, countless stories come in. We hear them on the news all the time, and I hear them all the time. You know, say you got a person, a father or a mother, who had COVID, and they're coughing, they're showing the symptoms, but the children are desperately saying, Mom or Dad, go to the hospital. And parents are like, no, I'm okay. And they're not letting them know how bad it is. And then the parent demise. They pass away. I mean, was that fair to the child?
No, it wasn't. And that, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I knew an exact situation that happened like that. The exact same thing that you said. And the children were upset because they tried to tell their mom to go to the hospital because with all the symptoms that she was showing and telling them about, they knew that she had the COVID, but she didn't think that she had it. Or maybe she knew she had it and just didn't want to go. But it had gotten to a point that she stopped breathing and her oxygen level had dropped down real low. So at that point she had to go, but it was too late because she wound up dying. So why are you holding things back? I just don't understand. I can't think of a situation. I don't care what it is. You have to let people know. Now, that's from my perspective. Now, we all are different, so other people may see things a little differently. But from my perspective, you don't hold it back. You can't protect them for something that they're eventually going to find out later on down the line anyway.
All right.
I would say hold it back if they're real young and then tell them later on maybe. But if they're 6, 7, 8 years old, they don't understand, depending on the age of the child as far as me. But I would let them know. I would keep it being a lie for a long time. But, you know, they're young. They might not quite understand.
All right. Thank you for
that, Jack. Some kids are a little older. Some kids at 6 years old, they understand a little bit more. And I agree with the part about waiting until they're old enough to understand. But sometimes a 5 or 6 year old understand a lot more than what we think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true.
I think you all are absolutely right, because, you know, sometimes we're thinking that we're protecting kids, but kids are well-equipped. It's just like, and I say this with all due respect to the ladies on the line tonight, sometimes the man doesn't want to tell her that he has another woman because he thinks that he's going to, you know, really devastate her, but that's not always the case. So the women usually know a lot of cases, and then they're stronger than what you, we sometimes give them credit for. Ms. Jay, is there any validity in what I just said?
I think they need to know. You know, if you got another woman, you better, well, I don't believe in keeping secrets. I mean, you know,
okay.
I'm okay.
Right.
I'm okay, like kids say.
Go, girl, let me bring you in. Go, girl, let me bring you in here on that particular note before we go to some more of the questions in here. Go, girl, usually the woman know when, man, you know, something's going on, something isn't right. I mean, there's some obvious changes, and we're going to do a story on that one as well. So would you want to know if he's got another woman, or do you pretty much already know?
I would want to know, but, yes, there's always some gut feeling, and they say gut is not gut is. It's just like your stomach hurting, and gut is. But I was going to also say I had that Mary Poppins experience myself, but I didn't go up on the roof. I was just up on the stairway in New York.
Tell me about it.
But I wanted to be a pilot. No, it was in New York one summer, and I had an umbrella, and you know the brownstones they have the two stories. So I went up on the stairway outside. And, boy, did I hurt my ankle and scratch my arm. I did not break anything, but it was like that was a lesson. I wasn't going to try that anymore. But I wanted to be a pilot.
Listen, thank you for sharing that. I'm sure you're a brilliant person today, and because it's like we were inquisitive. But where did you did you get your theory from, the Mary Poppins thing, or –
Yeah, it was just thinking of Mary Poppins, yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by.
But, you know, also saw, you know, paratroopers, but that wasn't a parachute.
You sure did. We're going to go to North Carolina, and I'm going to ask you all to stand by. Let's go to North Carolina. We've got Christy on the phone. Christy, thank you for joining us on tonight's program. Christy, why do some parents lie to their children? You know, one comment, to protect them. I'm not sure what we're protecting them from, but why, Christy?
Okay, I'm with everybody else. I don't feel that, well, first of all, we shouldn't lie anyway, okay?
Christy,
why would they,
before you go on, Christy,
yes.
So you say we shouldn't lie. So if the police...
No, we should not lie.
Right, so Christy, if the police stop you and you know you were going 75 in a 45-mile speed zone and the police comes up and he stops you and he says, ma'am, I see your license registration. Of course, you give him that. And he says, do you think you were speeding, ma'am? What would you say, Christy?
And to be honest, if you know you were wrong, then you got to admit it. Because guess what? If he say he got it clock you and he show it to you, so what good does it do to really lie? We all know.
But he's asking you, Christy. He's giving you kind of like an option. Miss, do you think you were speeding? Now, Christy, you know, a speeding ticket can be $158, $300. And he's saying, ma'am, today the speeding tickets are doubled. Do you think you were speeding, ma'am? Christy, what are you going to say? I'm just asking.
If I really was speeding, I would really have to be honest and say, yes, I was speeding. But, of course, we're going to come up with excuses, right? Hey, my child or whatever the case might be, you know, we're going to come up with excuses. But we all know when we do something wrong, and that's breaking the law, okay?
Right. So, Christy, are you going to tell the truth about why you were speeding? Are you wanting to get to the store before it closed, Christy? Come on. Are you going to tell the officer that? I wanted to get to Walmart before they closed.
Hey, I probably would tell him I was trying to get to Walmart before I closed because I already know that I was guilty. I already know it. Yes, yeah, so, so we
okay,
all
Christy.
Know we're guilty. We got to suffer
right.
consequences
so Christy.
Behind.
Christy, when I grow up, I really want to be like you. You know, I can be that honest because I am just not admitting that I was speeding to the police officer. If he don't know if I was speeding, I'm not getting ready to volunteer that information. So, Christy, tell us why as you said, we shouldn't be lying in the first place. But tell us why, Christy. Go ahead.
We all got to suffer the consequences as a result of our actions, okay?
Right.
The Bible tells us to confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So if we're not abiding by the law of the land as well as God's law, and lying is one of God's laws that, I mean, I can't remember exactly where it might be found. Jack might help me on that. But still, we know when we're wrong. We all know when we're wrong. Even a two-year-old child, which I constantly say, they know when they do something wrong.
It's the third commandment.
I didn't hear what you're saying.
Bear false witness.
Commandment. That's not bear false witness. Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Oh, so, Jack, okay. While we've got you in here, let me ask you, Jack, you know, and we're just on the radio, and police hopefully they're not listening. So, Jack, if you're stopped by the police, you were doing 75, and you were trying to get to a basketball game, and it was a 45-mile speed zone. Jack, and he said, were you speeding, sir? Jack, what is it that you might tell a police officer?
This is a rented car, and if it's a rented car, I tell him that I don't think that the speedometer, the speedometer, it must not be working. Something that, I'm just kidding because I do remember many years ago I did tell the police officer that. But if I'm like Christy on that. If I'm guilty, I'm guilty. You know, sometimes it's better to come up, be up front, and then they may have some pity on you, right? If I say, well, officer, I already know why you stopped me because I know I was speeding. I'm sorry, I'm guilty. And somebody else told me that. They told the officer up front, and he didn't give him a ticket. He said, well, since you're being honest about it, I'm going to give you a warning this time. So sometimes, you know, the truth pays, not sometimes, but all the time, the truth pays off.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen to that. Yeah.
When I grew up, I got to be like you and Christy because if the police don't know that I was speeding and he's going to ask me, then I'm probably going to be like, no, I don't think I was speeding. Is that?
And then when he show you that radar to show that you were speeding, then what you going to say?
That's right.
Well, they did show me a radar one time. And I said, I wanted to get out and explain myself three times. I tried to get out. And he kept telling me, stay in the car, sir. And I said, no, I got to explain myself. I don't think I was speeding. Your radar gun is wrong. So after the third time, he put his hand on his gun and was like, oh, yes, sir. So, I don't know. I was so adamant about it. Go ahead, Christy.
No, but see, you did that to yourself because he asked you to stay in the car, and you wanted to get out of the car to try to explain yourself to come up with more excuses.
I'm telling you, we all do some crazy stuff. We got a show on that one coming up. We're going to ask you all to stand by. Just give us a second. We want to go back in here, and I want to bring in Benny from the block with this next comment. We're almost out of time, you all. Let's go with the next comment. This comment is, when parents lie, they think they are protecting them, but I think parents lie to protect themselves and try to hide things from their children. Benny from the block, you think there's any truth behind that? Parents lie to protect themselves.
Absolutely, because the children don't know that there's something that should be protected from them to be protected from. And so parents now are preserving, like I said earlier, they're preserving either a reputation, status, or something that's going to cause them damage that they don't want to have anybody else know about. And again, remember, whatever seeds you plant, you're going to reap that harvest. And believe me, that harvest is not going to be a bitter swallow when it comes back full-fledged. So.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go now. We're going to go to Texas. Let's go in and bring in Ms. Lewis. Ms. Lewis, welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're almost out of time, and we're going to have Ms. J close us out tonight. Ms. Lewis, we got a comment. I've got to give you this comment here. First of all, let me ask you, do you think parents can stretch the truth a little bit rather than calling it a lie? Ms. Lewis, what do you think?
Repeat the question, please. Do I think if parents...
Yeah, if they can, instead of calling it a lie, can they just stretch the truth a little bit? I mean, you know, like they say, well, Mama, is Santa Claus going to bring me, you know, this bicycle this year? And so the parent, like, well, we'll just wait and see what Santa Claus brings under the tree.
Well, I don't think parents should do that. Parents should always be truthful because you want to see truthfulness in your children. Therefore, you must show the example. You know, it's like today I was walking in the park and I saw a little boy and I stopped and was talking to him. He was smoking. I said, "How old are you?" And, you know, and he said, "I'm 15. And we're talking about the smoking. He said, I said, "What are you smoking?" He said, "It's weed." I said, "If you were a daddy, would you want your 15-year-old to smoke?" You know, we went through things before and, you know, preliminary, telling him how Jesus loves him and his name is powerful, Jeremiah, and everything, you know. But we reached to that stage and he said, "My mama knows. My parents know that I smoke." And I said, "Your parents know? So what do they say?" He said, "They don't say anything. They allow me to smoke." I said, "Oh, no."
That's bad.
We talk about that. And, you know, but parents should set the example. Don't try to go around the corner, beat around the bush. And before that, I heard you ask a question about the police. You know, some years ago, I was coming home from work, working as a nurse, and it was a bad storm, and nobody could come to the hospital, no nurse. So who were there had to stay over. So I worked 24 hours, and guess what? There was a school right behind my house. So I was coming up very slowly because I know I should drive at that certain amount of speed. But because I worked for so long, my mind was just blank. And so I knew the police was always there. So I drove up and he came out and said, and he stopped me. So I stopped and he said, "Do you know you're driving at 45 in a 35-mile zone?" I said, "True." And he looked at me said, I said, "You know, I didn't know." And it's true. I didn't know because I thought I was driving slowly because I know they park there every morning at this school zone. And he said to me, and I told him, I said, "Sir, I worked 24 hours because it's a storm. And so I had to run. So I wasn't thinking, but I know I should drive at this limit." And he said, "I'm just warning you." And he gave me a warning. Think.
Awesome.
And I said, "Thank you. Thank you." So, you know, sometimes you really don't know. It's not really a lie. But I, for truth, I didn't know. I thought I was going slowly enough, but I wasn't.
Right.
So he gave me a warning. I said, "Thank you, Lord."
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. I'll bring you to the rescue. We almost out of time. We got about.
So the Lord helped her. The Lord, she told the truth, though.
Right, right, right. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Amen. Rick to the rescue. We've got his other comment. We're almost out of time, you all. This male writes in. He says, growing up, I realized later that my parents, even grandparents, were lying, and it was because they were trying to hide the truth from themselves. I think each generation is the same, whether old or new. Rick to the rescue, you think there's any truth behind that? Each generation is the same, whether old or new. Maybe the generations get weaker and wiser.
Well, I definitely think generations carry different things over. And I know we talked a lot about verbalizing lies, but we also do it in our behavior as well. So as an example, if I had a stressful day at work and I came home and my child said, "Hey, what's wrong with you?" And, I'm, you know, clearly they can see with my behavior that something is wrong. And I tell them, "Oh, I'm fine." We're actually teaching them how to present that same lie from generation to generation to generation. So it's important to look at it from that standpoint because we're not only teaching it with our words, we're teaching it with our behaviors as well.
All right, that's a very good point. Rick to the rescue, quickly, in about 20 seconds, we almost out of time. Tell them, give me your background, and go ahead with your commercial break, please, sir.
Yes, sir. I am very blessed to have a business, which is called A Path to Greatness, that allows me to assist people in developing a life plan. And with that life plan, we develop a personal development plan to assist people to get where they're trying to go on their life journey. You could contact me on my website at 2greatness.com. That is the number 2greatness.com. I know we only have about a minute left, so I'm going to turn it back over to you, Dr. Walker.
We're almost out. We're just about out of time. Ms. J, we're going to give you this last comment and close us out. Ricky to the Rescue, and Ms. J, I'll be in Georgia next week. We're going to be bringing the show live from Georgia. I'm certainly hoping that I can stop by and see you all in that peachy state. I'll be back in Georgia once again next week, come Monday. So I'm hoping I'll be able to see both of you all. Ms. J, we're going to give you this last comment, and we'll get to part two at another time. So let me go ahead and bring that comment in, and then, Ms. J, you can close us out on this one here. This female, she says, although it makes me feel guilty sometimes, but I have lied to my children to keep them from knowing when I'm not feeling well. The children don't like it and prefer to know when I'm not feeling well. Do you think it's best to tell your children when you're not feeling well, as you all said in tonight's topic? Ms. J, I'll let you answer that and close us out.
Well, for me, me personally, as a mother, I know I'm the one to take care of my family, so I don't necessarily tell my kids when I'm not feeling well. I like to stay strong and just stay motivated, and I might slow down, but I don't tell them I don't feel well. I might just rest. So I know I don't tell them because I want them to always want to be strong and continue to do things. Don't let a little sickness slow you down. But anyway, to close us out tonight, my first thought is, who can understand why a parent would lie to their children? I feel, and it seems like most of the callers feel the same way, that we should not wait too long to tell our truth to our children, you know, like they did in the story tonight. And I also feel that when you are not honest with your children, that they can lose trust in you. And as you, as parents, you should be the one, I feel, that they come to, that they can trust, they can come to and talk about anything with you. And if they lose that trust in you, they have no one that they can really come to like that. And sometimes you feel, okay, I'm just telling a little lie, a little white lie. You might think it's that. But always remember, sometimes them little lies can turn into bigger lies, and they can be hurtful to the ones you love at the end of the day. That's all I have to say.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. We're asking you all to join us here tomorrow night when the topic is going to be, listen, you thought tonight's topic was hot. You don't want to miss tomorrow night's topic because we're looking for scripture that will support this topic. Does God require man to communicate with him through prayer, meditation, other means? You don't want to miss tomorrow night's topic because we're looking for scripture to support this. In other words, how does God require man to communicate with him? Through prayer, meditation, or otherwise? You know, we talk about, you know, there were people who were friends of God that could talk to him. I mean, do you have to get on your knees and pray? Or can you just talk to God throughout the day like you're talking to a friend? So tomorrow night's topic is, does God require man to communicate with him through prayer, meditation, or otherwise? Join us here tomorrow night. We're completely out of time. I want to thank all of you all for stopping by and being a part of tonight's program. We're going to ask you to join us tomorrow night, 7 p.m., of course, if you choose that tomorrow night's program. We'll be back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walker. So until tomorrow night or until next Thursday, I want to say to my listeners, thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. I guess we're going to talk about four or five different products.
Good night.
Talk about as formally as Deja product, the Super Mix, the Moringa Super Mix. We're going to talk about the biggest product in company history, the collagen.
God bless you all. Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you. Great show, as usual. Bye. Bye, everybody.